The question today is, what is God like? And this is the 18th part of this answer, and really I think this will be the last one for this answer. If you like these, all of these 18 different broadcasts, we'll be glad to send them to you on CD or cassette tape, either one. We also have this series preached in our church, and on Sunday morning, 11 messages preached. We have the CDs on that, and we have the tapes on that. And just for the asking, you can get the look up our website, thepersuader.org, and there's much material we have concerning these things. But the question is, what is God like? We have a wrong concept of what God's like, and we know as we look at the names of God and see what they portray and what they show forth, like the Hebrew culture did with men's names, God's names show forth what He's like, His person, His character, how He operates, and what he does. Now, we've looked at hundreds of names and mentioned them. We've not pointed you to the Scripture for all of them, but you can look them up. There's many throughout the Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. There's a scarlet thread going through that book of the blood of Jesus, but also of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the I Am, who is the Almighty. In Him is the fullness of the Godhead body. So everything points to the Lord Jesus Christ today. We need to understand that. He is God. He Himself said that. And we looked at many various names. We've dealt with some of them, and the names that just general names that you're familiar with. But we want to go on and deal with some more than what we dealt with yesterday. But we know He's called the Lamb of God. John 1:29, John saw Him, John the Baptist saw Him after he'd baptized Him and after he went out and was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness. And He came back, and the Bible says He saw Him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, that's what the people were looking for in the Old Testament time. They offered sacrifices, lamb after lamb after lamb after lamb, for hundreds and hundreds of years, looking for a coming lamb that would take away the sin. Old Testament sacrifices did not take away the sin. People offered those sacrifices looking forward to the seed that Abraham talked about, to the Lamb of God that Isaiah portrayed and personified and that John the Baptist pointed out, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then the bridegroom, he's noted as a bridegroom in Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 7 and 8. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice," because this is after the rapture, this is at the judgment seat of Christ. He said, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." So He's called the bridegroom. He's called the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valleys. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 1 said, "I am the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valleys." And I know that's talking about Solomon in context, but I want to tell you there's a greater than Solomon here. And we think about that. He said He's the Rose of Sharon and He's the Lily of the Valleys. And there's more than one valley going to be in your life. And He's the lily there. What fragrance you can sniff from Him. You can hide under His petals and the enemy can't smell out your putrefying odor. What fragrances with Him? For instance, as I saw those lily of the valleys, little flowers that was over there, not like our lilies so much here, but little red flowers that was in groups and clusters on the hillside, and what fragrance they had, and if rabbit was, if he was running from a jackal or a coyote or something, could run in those, and as far as the enemy could go would be to the edge of the lily of the valleys, because he'd lose his scent as he hid in amongst those flowers, down and under them. Folks, I want to tell you, you hide in Christ and the devil can't get to you. What fragrance is there? Isaiah chapter 9 says this about names of our Lord. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, some of those we've already dealt with, but he's called Wonderful. That's a word of awe. Marvelous, miraculous is what it means. See, when you see Him, we ought to just have to say, "Wonderful, wonderful," because He is wonderful. He's also called Counselor. That means one who's fitted to stand your princes and kings as their advisor. They're the ones who've got words of wisdom, and they express great wisdom and qualification to guide and direct the human race. So that's Him. That's our Lord. In fact, John chapter 7, verse 46, after a group of officers was sent out by the Sanhedrin to arrest Jesus, they come back and didn't have Him. And they said, "Why didn't you bring Him back?" And they answered in John 7:46, "Never man spake like this man, Counselor." He's also known as the Prince of Peace. That denotes that the tendency of His administration would be to restore and to perpetuate peace. He will rule one day. He will rule one day in the millennium reign. And the Bible even calls him Jesus. Matthew 1:21 said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." All we think about it, about this Jesus, is he was on board the ship one day, and the storm was raging, the wind was blowing, the waves was coming inside the ship, and Jesus was asleep on that ship. And the disciples couldn't bail out the water fast enough. They thought they was going to perish. They came and woke up Jesus, and they said, "Master, carest not thou that we perish?" And what happened was, Jesus raised up, woke up, stood on the edge of the ship, and said, "Peace to the waves, and peace be still to the wind." And the wind calmed, and the waves kissed his feet like whip puppies at that time. And you realize something the men said in verse 27 of Matthew 8, "But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Oh, what manner of man we're talking about is this? You think about what manner of man this is. We're talking about what God's like. To the accused, he's the counselor who never lost a case. To the archaeologist, he's the rock of salvation. To the artist, he's altogether lovely and fairer than the children of men. To the astronomer, he's the bright and morning star and the son of righteousness. To the baker, he's the bread of life. To the banker, he's the hidden treasure. To the believer, he's above all, before all, greater than all, in all, Lord of all, and over all. And the scripture to back up every one of those. To the biologist, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. To the blind, he's the light of the world. To the bride, he's the bridegroom. To the butcher, he's the Lamb of God. To the carpenter, he's the builder of this house. To the Christ rejecter, he's the judge of the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. To the Christian, he's the firm foundation. To the church body, he's the head. To the composer of music, he's the giver of songs in the night. To the dead, he's the resurrection and the life. To the deaf and the dumb, he's the divine healer. To the educator, he's the great teacher. To the engineer, he's the new and living way. To the farmer, he's the sower of the good seed. To the florist, he's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. To the homeless, he's the architect of many mansions. To the horticulturalist, he's a fruitful branch. To the hungry, he's the food for their soul, and they shall hunger no more. To the inventor, he's the maker of all things new. To the jeweler, he's the pearl of great price. To the Jew, he's the Messiah. To the Gentile, he's the desire of the nations. To the laborer, he is their rest. To the legislature, he's their lawgiver. To the librarian, he's the book of life. To the linguistic, he's the Alpha and Omega. To the lonely, he's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. To the meek, he is their benefactor to inherit the earth. To the minister, he's the chief shepherd of the fold. To the naked, he's the robe of righteousness. To the newspaper man, he's the good news of great joy. To the orphan, he's the everlasting father. To the poor in spirit, he's the king of the kingdom. To the preacher, he's the word of God. To the scholar, he's the wisdom of God. To the sculptor, he's the image of God. To the servant, he's the good master. To the sheep, he's the good shepherd. To the sick, he's the great physician. To the sinner, he's the seeker and the savior. To the soldier, he's the captain of their salvation. To the temple, he's the chief cornerstone. To the thirsty, he's the living fountains of water. To the timekeeper, he's the author of ages. To the troubled heart, he's their comforter. To the weak, he's their strength. To the writer, he's the editor, the source of eternal salvation. Folks, I want to tell you, these names reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And all we could say as we deal with these names and show they reveal the person and the character and how he operates and how he works, we just have to back off and say, that's him. That's him. That's what God is like. His name reveals what he's like. Now, the main names that we recap, we'll recap just a moment. You see, first he's Elohim, the strong one, who is able to redeem the fallen earth, and he's able to redeem fallen man. Oh, he's able to do that. And as Jehovah, he is the I Am who reveals himself. He revealed himself to Moses, and he wants to reveal himself to you. And you must have him revealed to you before you'll ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people have facts revealed to them, but they've never had the Lord Jehovah revealed. And let me say this, a lot of people call themselves Jehovah's Witness and don't even know that Jehovah is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you deny him, you deny life, because you've got to have Him to have life. And He is Jehovah of the Old Testament, the one who wants to reveal Himself to man. And then He's the El Shaddai, the Almighty, the one who wants to and does pour Himself in the life of a believer. And you're a believer even before you're saved. You've got historical faith, intellectual faith, or a seeking faith. And Abraham, we used him as an example. Jacob as an example. And how the El Shaddai, the multi-breasted one, the sustainer, the nourisher, the one who has enough bottles to go around and there's no runts in his litter, pours himself in the life of a believer. Thank God for that. And then we've seen many other names, and most of them point to the Lord Jehovah or to Elohim. But all these titles and whatnot just lift up the Lord. we can see, and when we determine them, we know what God's like, what He's like. I think one of the greatest ones was the Jehovah Ra, which showed us that He, as Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, He gathers His sheep. Thank God He's gathering, and He wants to gather you into the fold. He gives His sheep. They're satisfied. He gives them all what they need and supply their every need. May not be what they want in the flesh, but He gives them what they need. He also, and by the way, sometimes the greatest thing you have may be a need, but He gives them, and then He also guides them. He guided us all the way. We'll look back when it's all over with, and we'll say, God put us together. God led us this way. God led us that way. Sure, we may be like Balaam sometimes and get out of the will of God and do the wrong thing, but God's still good to us in those days, like He was the children of Israel. He led them through the wilderness, even though that was out of the divine will of God. And He guides us. He guides us. And He guards us in the valley of death, even like David with Goliath. Wherever you're facing, He's set a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And He guides us. He guards us. And He guarantees delivery on heaven's golden portal shore. That's what our God is like. As we think about that, you see, in fact, Ephesians 3:20 said, now unto Him. I'm talking about fulfillment of all these names and all these titles is fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that now that worketh in us. Folks, we've just scratched the surface in dealing on what God's like. But may you see that He's able to reveal your need to you as Jehovah, and that He's able to make that a reality as Elohim. He's able to reveal the supply for your need and make that a reality in your life. He can, He has, and He will. That's Him. And one day He's coming back. And the Holy Ghost who lives inside of every child of God will say, that's Him. That's my Master. I know we'll not ask who it is, for we'll know. But for just to play on words, sometime we might say, who's that? And the Holy Ghost will rise up inside and say, that's Him. That's Him. That's my Master. Are you ready for that day? You see, are you ready for that day? What's God like? It's all summed up. We can sum it all up in one statement. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is all you need. 1 John 5:12 said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.